This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Knock your arrows and crack open a nice bottle of Australian rum and toast to friendship because you've entered Leon U, the WDPN Arrowcast. Folks, welcome to Leon U. As always, my name is Kevin Kessler and I am joined by my co-host for this awesome hour of Arrow Talk, Mr. Kevin Clark.
Shabooey!
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. You're bringing some DuckTales the movie.
That's right. I'm going to roll this DuckTales theme.
Awesome. Awesome.
Until I exhaust it completely.
Yes. Yeah, well, you've got Blathering Blatherskite left, and you got a couple others, so, you know. folks, this week, what a huge week. This episode entitled The Promise. This was the week where we finally got to see Slade Wilson and Oliver come face-to-face, not on the island, in real life, and holy God, was this an awesome episode.
I got no eye in me eye hole, mate.
Oh, his gross, empty eye hole? Yeah, that was disgusting. That was a disgusting way to end it.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
CG and me with no eye, mate, while I spy on Oliver. I'm watching you with one eye, mate. I'm into voyeur porn.
How many of those do you think he put in Thea's bedroom?
Got one right in the toilet seat.
Ah! Oh, he went there, folks. Well, I've always, since last year when we had the All Island episode, I've said that every season should have an island-centric episode towards the end. And obviously, I was right about that. Because, this was a very island-centric episode. With, I think, the real-time events maybe encompassing about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say about 75 to 80% of this episode was all island, which I'm all for because I love the island stuff. And I think that the best part is getting to see Oliver become a little bit more proficient.
Yeah, that was cool. He's doing his, island parkour, running around.
Yeah.
Missing. You know, he shoots at the target, misses it twice, and then Slade, in Slade fashion, goes, "We don't have all day.
We don't have all day, kid."
Freaking asshole.
It's windy.
There's a breeze, all right?
Hey, we're clean. No dirty language, mate.
Oh, yeah. So the awkward study encounter between Oliver and Slade off the bat was awesome. Loved it.
The favorite parts for me, super strength Slade grabbing Oliver out of the air.
Yes, I have that down in my notes when he just, like flings him onto the ship.
When he makes him his monkey.
Yes. Nope. So the awkward study encounter was great, but I do have to, like, I love when Moira leaves the room, Slade turns his back for a second, and Oliver's at him with the letter opener to my favorite part of the episode.
Not yet, kid. Not today, kid.
But what was Oliver going to do had he succeeded in plunging a letter opener into Slade's heart right in his mother's study when Moira walks back in?
I mean, I guess at that point he just has no choice but to kind of go, "Hey, Mom, I was trapped on for 5 years, brutally tortured, and this guy was my friend."
Yeah.
I stole his hot Asian girlfriend.
He's not anymore.
I got shot in the head.
Now he's dead. Yeah, so that was an awesome moment because we got to see how Slade is very much Oliver's equal in everything, pretty much.
I wouldn't even say equal.
No, well, yeah, he's superior.
Stark raging superior.
Yes. So let's go to, so Oliver's training, so let's just go to the island in general right now. Oliver's discomfort regarding any mention of Shadow has been awesome this episode.
To Shadow!
Yeah.
I didn't get a shot in the head. What? I mean, nothing.
It's not my fault.
Nothing.
He's basically Snitsky now. It wasn't my fault. But I want to pose this question to you. Do you think that he actually did choose Sarah, or was it just the fact that Ivo's pointing a gun at Sarah, and he jumped in front of Sarah?
He chose Sarah.
You think he made a...
I think he chose Sarah.
Yeah. But I also see it as, like, Shadow's a warrior. Sarah is just a civilian. I see it as Oliver's heroic side coming through, and he's stepping in the way of, first of all, the person he is pointing the gun at.
He made the Sophie's choice, but I think it's pretty clear he chose Sarah.
But do you think if he had pointed the gun at Shadow to begin with, he would have jumped in front of Shadow?
Probably. you know, Oliver did try to do that, like, you know, the you know, the slide in the middle.
Yeah.
But he was definitely more towards Sarah's side.
Well, I would say that for Oliver, the Sarah's supposed death on the Gambit had to have been something that was weighing on him for the last year.
Absolutely. He got his sister, he got his girlfriend's sister killed.
Yeah, but now the fact that
he wanted to get his jollies.
Right, the fact that she's now alive, I think that he almost felt like some kind of obligation to protect her. His guilt outweighing.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Oliver has been fortunate in the fact that, you know, he crash landed on an island and he keeps getting hotter and hotter girlfriends.
Yeah. They just keep washing up on the shores.
It's the greatest. Apparently, Purgatory is the greatest wingman you could ever have.
Yep. It's hedonism. He washed up on Asian hedonism. They just keep showing up.
I'm going to teach you how to be a BA warrior
by
running around in a green cloak and shooting arrows.
Smacking water.
And now, because you're so BA, you can get all the tail you want.
You know, you had to kind of sense that this was going to be the episode where it all was going to hit the fan with Slade. Because they were also really laying the friendship on real heavy in the beginning of this episode with, like, the, when we first tried to get off this island, it was a stranger's. Now it's his brothers. And we're like, oh, this isn't going to last. Or to friendship, you know, like, or when he breaks open the rum. So the significance of the rum, obviously, you know, that was everything that Slade did in the house. I loved how he was so conversational, yet everything was a slow twist of the knife for Oliver.
Yeah.
He was letting him squirm.
Sarah warns Oliver, don't let Ivo speak.
Yeah.
Don't let him run his mouth.
Put an arrow in his throat.
He's going to twist it around, and then Oliver decides to go monologue with him.
Stupid.
Doesn't look over his shoulder while Ivo's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm pretty sure you feel guilty. You know, I had the gun, but, you know, you made the choice, right?
Right?
It was you, right? Right? Yeah.
Say it was you. Say it.
Yeah, it was me. Good, 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 good. Did you hear that? Did you hear everything back there?
I heard it.
What? You're on candid camera.
Yeah,
that's
seriously.
How bad that was.
But the thing I love about Ivo is that Ivo is always in control, even when he's in danger. I mean, that was such
except
a
for the part except where he got his
yes,
off.
Except with Slade. He's not in control with Slade whatsoever. But he can play Oliver. You know, he can play Oliver. He can play Sarah. But I actually have it in my notes. Like Ivo, it said Ivo is always in control, even in danger. ... Until he gets his hand cut off. He's trying. He's trying to play Slade at that point. And then Slade's just like, oh, really?
Okay.
Really? Is that how you pointed the gun? Chop!
Now your hand's on the floor. Now what?
Crawl for it now.
Don't you point that nub at me.
I hope you didn't hold that gun with two hands, because now you can't. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. I saved your life, man. Chop. I just saved yours now.
Yeah.
We're even Stevens.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That what a moment. That we'll get there as we go through the episode. Totally cool episode. Speaking of Oliver getting more proficient, the first time he puts on Yao Fei's hood, I thought was such a cool moment.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of firsts. You know, one, we actually get to see Slade in his Deathstroke mask.
Yeah. He's never put it on before.
He hasn't put it on. It's okay. Billy Wintergreen running around. And then the only reason you know it's Slade is when, because they haven't actually confirmed his name at that point.
Yeah.
Oliver finds the mask and thinks it's Billy Wintergreen.
Right.
That was pretty cool. He throws on the awesome old school Deathstroke mask and they go do some work.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, so Oliver puts on the hood. He puts on the Deathstroke mask. Pure, pure brilliance. I loved every second of it. And I do really love that Deathstroke mask. Do you like that or the helmet more?
I'm partial to the new 52 Deathstroke look. Mm-hmm. I love the armor. I think it makes a little more sense.
It's a little more fat, you know,
yeah. You're
functional.
You're this mega proficient assassin who goes into suicide missions and then massacres everybody. I get it. You're super fast. You got a healing factor, but you don't want to be taking rounds to the shoulder every day.
But we also saw, that a round to the shoulder is not going to hurt him. When the guy shot him in
the stomach,
much like the Terminator, he just kept walking at him.
Especially when the bullet comes exploding out of the back.
Oh no! Oh no! I'm the captain of this ship. It was actually a nice little reversal from What? From Captain Phillips?
Yeah.
I'm the captain now.
I am the captain now.
Now it's like, I'm the captain now.
Well, also apparently Slade Wilson is stronger than Khan Noonan Singh.
Yes.
Because it takes Khan 10 minutes to kill Peter Weller.
Oh, yeah, he does.
It took Slade 30 seconds.
I do love that they gave Slade the I now have super strength head crush kill that every good villain gets to do at some point in time.
Slade is the new Kona Crush.
Yes. Oh, man. Okay, so let's talk about Ivo for a second, since we were talking about how he was in control. Ivo's wife. We learned the reason Ivo was looking for the Mirakuru is his wife definitely has some form of dementia or Alzheimer's or some kind of degenerative brain disorder that's causing her to forget who she is and who her husband is and whatnot.
She's dying.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, it's a nice little change from the comics.
But my question is, does everybody need to have a sick or dying relative that they're trying? Like, I mean, you know, Malcolm had Malcolm's wife died, Clock King's sister, now Ivo's wife. I mean, I'm getting a little tired of that. Why does everyone need to have a noble intention behind their evil act? Can't someone just be a megalomaniac?
Well, yeah. I mean, in the comics, Ivo is looking for an immortality serum for himself because
right.
he doesn't want to die. He discovers it, but it doesn't really help because he's susceptible to every disease and every maiming, horrifically scarring injury out there. And by the time you meet him in real time, he's this pockmarked leper who is just not going to die and lives every waking moment of his life in agony.
Which is awesome.
But I mean, I guess, you know, just in terms of needing a reason to have this mad scientist hanging out on the island.
Yeah.
I guess you can argue that it gives the character a little more depth. Because Malcolm, you could always say that, they make it a point to say in the first season that Malcolm always had a bit of a god complex.
Right.
So you just need the catalyst to have the god complex take over, because if it was simply a matter of revenge, Malcolm would have just been shooting black arrows in everybody's chest in the glades.
Right.
Versus the I need to make this grand gesture and murder everybody.
Well, we've touched on it in previous episodes where it's like, you know, when something like that happens, when someone close to you is taken from you like that, everyone has this moment of I just want to destroy and just get, but not everybody has the money and power to actually do it.
You know, the other part with Ivo is that, instead of spending time with his wife, his megalomania is that it's more that he's agreed that he can't cure her.
Yeah.
So now he's out saying, no, I'm going to be the one to cure her. I'm going to find this thing that's pretty much a myth. It's going to be me who does it because the rest of you are incompetent.
Right.
So it gives you some layers. It gives you maybe 3 seconds of sympathy, you know, just to kind of make him a little more relatable.
But then at the end of the day, didn't they kind of insinuate that Sarah was kind of a glorified concubine on the ship?
Yeah. Well, was there any doubt?
Yeah.
He's surrounded by, you know.
But he loves his wife so much.
He's surrounded by the cast of Captain Phillips, Russian prisoners, and everybody he's taken on the boat. You know, a hot blonde with a giant rack and pretty eyes is literally found floating in the water. I'm pretty sure you're going to treat her pretty good, because what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Have some pal time with terrible tooth Somalian?
Speaking of
the captain now.
Yes.
In the bedroom.
Speaking of the prisoners, we saw such a wide range of the prisoners that are in the base of the Amazo. We had, you have the priest. This is the gamut you can run. You have the priest who is so on the side of good, and then you have that bald guy that tried to choke out Sarah, who is like, you know, ruthless and bad. I do kind of understand where he was coming from with that, though.
So it took me a little bit. I was trying to figure out who these characters were.
Yes,
there
I know.
There are some people that are similar, Reverend Thomas Flynn. It's a strong Irish name. I could not find anything in my DC Comics encyclopedia, in my DC Comics wiki.
Encyclopedia.
There is a Joe Flynn. It's a character that Marv Wolfman created. DC character Vigilante briefly went by a while back. Oh, I'm saying that all wrong. the it was a vigilante character that popped up a while back, and then you see a character very similar to that in the Batman the Animated Series called the Rat Pack.
Okay,
who looks like Flynn? He's got the little glasses, and he wears a terrible rat costume. It looks like he's wearing okay. Mickey Mouse ears with the terrible, right. But like the rat's got like a goofy nose and the one tooth.
Did he
very quickly dispensed, you know, he,
I would assume justice.
Yeah, pretty much. He gets his nose broken almost immediately.
Did he have Abraham the rat with him, like like the preacher in the? Well,
yeah, I don't remember the name of the rat, but he had a pet rat. You know,
this is Abraham. Yeah. Say hello, Abraham.
You are crazy.
What if he brought Abraham with him to the island?
The one of Ivo's men is referred to, rather, he's credited as the Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a Butcher character in DC Comics.
Okay.
We can probably disqualify him. We can probably disqualify him from from being, you know, the Red Lantern entity. Known as the Butcher.
Absolutely.
But then there's another hench character that runs around that has a very similar name. But I mean, you know, you're getting lots of allusions to, you know, to similar characters, and then our giant Russian friend.
I love him.
What was it? Heinrich Megala. There's a Heinrich.
That's the one that's his friend that makes it off the island, right?
No, that's the guy who choked her out.
That was the guy who choked her out.
Heinrich von Aaron is the name of the DC Comics character who is who's confined to a robot wheelchair.
Okay.
He's a Firestar, a Firestorm villain.
Oh, that's interesting.
So again, it's no one directly relatable, but they're all very similar. So, you know, you just don't know. They could be, you know, and again, it could be one of those just little happy little Easter eggs that they throw in there to make comic fans obsess over who it is that they're actually seeing.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of fanboy service that happens in this show. My favorite line, by the way, speaking of the Russians and in the prison, was Oliver's Russian friend. He goes, "I told you I'd be back," when he gets thrown in the cell. And the guy goes, "Fantastic. We're saved." I thought that was great. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, that guy's a cool character. I hope he pops up again.
Yeah, oh, he's going season. To.
He's on the island now. What I'm wondering, though, is so now the dynamic on the island has changed drastically.
It's like a mini community there now.
Yeah, they've got like a mini island cast.
Yeah.
So now what I'm wondering is, because Oliver is very much so by himself,
mm-hmm.
does everybody but Oliver make it off the island?
Well, we know the Russian guy does.
And what happens that he is literally by himself?
Yeah, I've wondered that a lot, because now he's got like a whole bunch of allies.
You know, because he's got the Team Island
mm-hmm.
hanging out, you know, doing their own special version of Survivor.
Is it just the Russian guy and the priest that make it to? I didn't even notice that.
I think Oliver's Russian contact. I think
the preacher makes it.
Yeah, the preacher makes it. Sarah makes it. So again, we know at some point in time they're going to wind up. Sarah and Oliver are going to wind up separated.
Of course,
she's going to be dead somewhere.
He's going to think that she's dead, because one of the things that I really liked was we found out why Oliver told the Lances that Sarah died on the Gambit
mm-hmm.
when they had that conversation. And I thought it was so interesting, the dynamic between the two of them, when Oliver is like, you know, if I don't make it, tell my family that I wasn't the same person.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't that same dumb kid. And she's like, if I don't make it, you tell him I died on the Gambit. Like, Oliver's almost proud of the man he's becoming.
Well,
and Sarah's just like, please don't let anyone know I was a concubine on a...
Well, exactly. She doesn't want her dad to know that she was, a mad scientist, bop toy.
Yeah.
You know, what did you do for 5 years? I drained the bag of a mad scientist every Monday night.
Yes.
So, you know.
Drained the bag. Oh my goodness! One moment in the prison that it was just like, when the preacher is. I just thought this moment was so corny and cliche. Like, where the preacher says something about God, and then when the Russian guy's being dragged away, and he's like, "There is no God, and if there was, he's not on this ship." I'm like, "All right, guys,
well, you gotta drive it home." Right. That's the hallmark of every we've been prisoners for a long time thing. It's like filming a Western with Clint Eastwood
mm-hmm.
and not having him say anything as he walks away into the sunset. It's just something that has to be done.
Right. I just, for some reason, that line just stuck out at me, and I was like, ugh. Oh, by the way, let's talk about when Oliver is dragged over to, you know, first of all, the Russian guy, thank God Oliver gets captured and taken to the boat because he's about to lose an eye. So they bring Oliver in and they sodium pentothal him up. I just have to say, Oliver Queen, the character, is a great actor. Because, you know, like when he pulls out the sodium, what is that? You know, like you literally thought that he was scared. It must just be from all those years of lying to Laurel that he became such a great liar.
Well, yeah, when you're a billionaire playboy, you're going to know how to lie. Because yeah. I'm sure he has an entire section of his Q phone.
Uh-huh.
With a bunch of girls in the blocked call list.
Yeah.
And if everyone runs into them in public, I didn't have sex with your sister this morning. No, it was somebody else.
No, of course it wasn't me.
I just asked if you wanted some gelato.
So the sodium pentothal thing.
He can wait until one.
I knew that that wasn't actually real. Because, you know, once he said they have a raft, because we know that the parachute is involved in the grand plan to board the freighter. And so, you know, what I'm saying is when he said, oh, we have a raft, I'm like, okay, he's definitely acting. He's not, the sodium pentothal is having no effect because I know they're not using a raft. Mm-hmm. They're using the parachute.
Well, again, it was pretty cool because they, you know, again, like you said, he sold it quite well. If you're watching, you know, you're like, oh, they didn't really account for sodium pentothal, but then you flash back to the quick scene where Sarah's making him drink the special herbs.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know that Sarah's also an alchemist.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we know that she can analyze blood from the last episode, so it just makes sense that she'd be, you know, she's been a mad scientist assistant for the last year.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to assume he taught her stuff to, you know.
She's sitting there talking about barbiturates and stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, well, look at you, Sarah Lance. I don't know. I don't remember what she was going to college for, but, you know, I don't think it was that.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
I know what's up.
And listen, when I say a lot of drugs, I mean a lot of drugs.
I mean, I was dating your sister. I had to be high all the time.
It's where you think she got it from. I mean, that's talking the future.
Oh, Rummy.
Oh, Rummy Lance. There's none of her this week, which I think was definitely a blessing because we've kind of had a Laurel overload the last couple of weeks.
Well, at least she's, you know, she's redeemed herself.
Somewhat. I still haven't forgiven her, and I'm probably not going to. You know, something else I noticed, and this is just kind of a funny little island thing as I'm trying to get through all my island stuff, is Slade is so short. When they're on the ship together and he's putting the mask on, like, better leave Ivo to me. I'm just like, you are, like, at Oliver's chest.
Yeah, I know. it's funny. Like, I'm like, I watch it go, good Lord, how short is the cast of Spartacus?
Yeah.
Because he towers over some people.
I can only assume that they actually pulled Manu Bennett forward in time because people were shorter back then. He's actually from ancient Greece. And so they pulled him forward in time to be in Spartacus, and then he just kind of kept acting.
Yeah, but yeah, he's a little dude who can break your face.
Yeah, yeah. He's no less threatening due to his shortness.
But I'm like, oh, man, if this ever does wind up being a shared universe, Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck are 6 foot plusers.
Yeah, well, they're never like, fighting Deathstroke. Like,
oh, hello, little guy. Where's your daddy?
Then he breaks your face.
Did you come here all by yourself?
Aww.
Are you the little guy making all that noise? Broken nose. Broken ankle. Broken kneecap. Oi!
Do you wish that Slade had all gray hair, by the way?
Nah, I'm kind of cool with that.
You're okay with the Reed Richards on the side? Well, Reed Richards isn't going to have it anymore, so we might as well give it to Slade.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think he looks great in the... I would like to get a flashback episode where we find out what Slade's been up to between the island and now, like how he amassed all this wealth.
Well, sure, they're
going to
explain it a little bit during the Suicide Squad episode.
I hope so.
Someone's been paying attention.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, actually, no, because they don't say Slade Wilson. Amanda Waller says
Deathstroke.
So they just know there's a Deathstroke out there. I don't think they know that. If they knew it was this businessman, Argus would be swarming the Slade Wilson Incorporated offices very quickly.
To no avail.
Yeah, it wouldn't work out for them very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you come here to fight me? Chopped off your head. chopped off your head. I like to have him call it his attacks like he's a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Slade, use head chop. It's super effective. He's bleeding all over the place. It's got no bloody head.
Burn the body. Burn the body.
So I'm trying to see if I have any other island stuff. Do you have anything up from the island?
No, we hit my bit.
Oh, when he does catch Oliver coming off the ship, one quick thing I noticed upon second viewing, Oliver's hanging up, literally, upside down, and the arrows stay in his quiver.
I know.
I was just like, oh, shouldn't all the arrows have just fallen into the water?
Well, that's just standard. You know, you just gotta, that's like wrestling logic when you hit the rope and all of a sudden it propels you from one side to the other.
I also love Steve.
You know, it just, it happens. He's a superhero.
He is.
You know, they stay in. It's got a special holder.
Stephen Amell does such a great job of differentiating between Island Oliver and Starling City Oliver, because he's even got a different voice. Like, when he tells Sarah that Slade knows, it's like, he knows! And he's like all up in the high register. Like, now he'd be like, he knows.
You know.
Yeah, but, you know, my favorite scene in the episode is that Ivo scene where he tricks Oliver into admitting that he chose Sarah over Shadow, because... And it's not even because of anything Ivo or Oliver did. It was Manu. It was Slade. When he takes off that mask and it's just got this look of utter betrayal on his face. It's just such an amazing... And Manu really said... Because he looks... There's tears in his eyes. Like, he's looking at this guy
you're
like...
You're feeling the emotion.
Yeah, you really do when you see it.
Especially and then, after he calls him brother before they leave.
Mm-hmm. And then it just turns into... Boom, bang, bang, boom. He's dead. As dead as you. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Oh. I'm going to slow torture you for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You'd
think he'd want to torture Ivo a little bit more.
Well, because Ivo actually shot the gun.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, but that's that supervillain logic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, oh, you know, and again, kill the captain, become the captain with Slade. And I'm wondering if they're going to, like, you know, pirate Deathstroke was a thing, wasn't it?
And, yeah, in Flashpoint book.
Flashpoint, yeah. So, I mean, I'm all about pirate. Maybe
Storm in the Seven Seas. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We're really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearties, yo.
Oh, my God. I would love if Slade gets, like, a full-out captain costume.
Slade performing Gilbert and Sullivan every night. The moon shows us for what we really are. We're not living, but we're also not dead. Can you sing?
No.
Then you can't join me crew.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's how he amasses his wealth. Pirating.
Pirating?
Yeah, he just takes his... This would be a badass pirate ship.
He hates the Queen so much, he's just sinking billionaires' yachts.
Yep.
One some bitch. Two some bitch.
You look rich. Boom. Oh, God. I would love... I'm all about ship captains. I hope that he sails that ship off the island. After Oliver puts an arrow in his eye.
Like, I'm just curious to see how he is the only one left on that island.
Yeah, definitely. And I can't wait to see what he, what Oliver, where Oliver thinks all these people were all this time. Like, do you think he actually thought Slade was dead? Because he is shocked to see him.
I mean, when you jam an arrow in someone's eye, you have to assume that maybe you pushed it in enough that you got the brain.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like that would even bother Slade with his Mirakuru.
That's right. With that shot glass hole, he calls an eye now.
Yes.
We're going to do eyeball shots. Come on, you know you want to do it. It's how we spend the nights on the galley, on the Jolly Roger.
He crosses out of Mazo and writes Jolly Roger.
Come here, Pan. My name's Oliver.
Name's Pan now. Really? This is getting a little out of hand, don't you think?
Mr. Smee!
My name is Matumba.
Mr. Smee!
He picks him up with one hand. Your name is Smee now.
I do like when you flash forward back to the Queen House.
Uh-huh.
And Oliver and Slade are having... I mean, Oliver's handling this just Terribly.
No. Oh.
Just terribly.
How awkward must Moira feel when literally she's having pleasant conversation and these two are just staring at each other?
Staring at each other.
It's the most obvious thing in the world that there's something going on here.
Why, seriously? Come on, Moira. You don't think these two don't know each other?
Oliver walks in and goes, "What the hell are you doing here?" You think he's saying that to a perfect stranger as a CEO of a company?
Oliver works.
He is technically the CEO of Queen Consolidated.
You know, I mean, you know, Summer Glau is hidden somewhere in a box.
So yeah, we haven't seen her in forever.
Well, you know, you had to get through sweeps. You can't have her killing the show.
Yeah, yeah. The ratings must have dropped every time they put her on the air. So they were like, just keep her, you know, just hold her back. Do a couple Deathstroke episodes to get him up.
You know, he walks in. Who the hell are you?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get over it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and someone wants get over it. Oliver! Like,
I love when Sarah walks in the door, though, and he's like, oh, you're back from the dead.
That I had that down, because obviously, do you think he thought Sarah was dead?
I think he...
Because he knows about Diggle, so...
Yeah, he knows everything there is to know, but I guess he...
You think he missed that one?
Yeah, I'm assuming he thinks but she then died on the island.
But then he says, oh, you're the girl that came back from the dead. So obviously I think he might have just
actually
been,
probably could have been in the paper too.
Maybe. I mean, you know, Felicity, by the way, thank God Felicity's apparently into public humiliation. Oh, we got a butt dial. Let's hear what Oliver's talking about on speakerphone. If she hadn't done that, everybody dies.
Well, yeah, she's got to get her jolly somehow. Well, listen, Slade clearly was not there to kill the Queen family.
No, he was there to plant cameras. Been,
you know, oh, hello, Moira. Yeah. Chopped off your head. Off to the pirate ship.
By the way, pirates, he has a pirate voice. I can already tell because, like, when he takes her, he goes, this is my ship. He got, like, all deep and, like, intense with it. And, like,
because he's psycho.
Yeah. All the Somali pirates just kind of like,
I just wanted to steal from people. This guy's popping people's brains out of their head.
Holy crap.
This isn't cool.
Better do what he says.
I am not the captain now.
Anyone else think they're the captain? Oh my god, I love the concept of pirates.
Sing Hakuna Matata for me right now.
That's not even the right movie.
Like hell it ain't.
Oh my god.
Your name is Mufasa. You know any good sea shanties?
We're from Somalia.
That's not what I asked. Learn them. Who wants to play District 9?
Oh, God. Also, here's the... Apparently, Oliver's not living in the mansion anymore.
Apparently, he just sleeps in the arrow cave.
I could see that. I mean, you know, we don't know where he lives right now.
You think for appearance's sake, he needs to have an apartment.
Right, but I mean, like, really, like... You know, his address is, like, 123 Not Laurel's Apartment Street.
That's
like,
right.
But, you know, apparently he's not living there anymore because Thea has to keep coming up with ways to get him into the house. Yes. And,
I think the more important question is, where is Sarah living?
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Maybe with Quentin. No, she probably lives in that clock tower with Sin.
Sure. Oh, you mean in the recycled JLA watchtower set?
Yes. Oh, my God. Could that be any more of a recycled set?
They're like, oh, two green arrows in two different sets.
Yep.
That's nifty.
Yep, and Luther Manor being Queen Manor. It's, you know, they just, oh, we got all the Smallville stuff. I can't wait for the Kent farm to pop up.
We're going to Kansas.
Uh-huh.
Big red barn.
So, you know, I love how Sarah, she hears that voice and just immediately, he's going to kill everybody. We got to go. We got to go now. So, you know, oh, we got a butt dial speakerphone. Like, hoping to hear Oliver, like, saying something embarrassing, but then he hears, oh, yeah, I like this. Could this day be any worse for Oliver? Like,
seriously.
When Thea walked in, it should have been preceded by Oliver being like, what more could possibly go wrong today? Hey, guys, I'm home.
Hey, son, it's your dad back from the dead. I recovered from that bullet hole in my face.
Awesome. Awesome. Slade is just mincing. By the way, the other reason I think they made it a point to say that not only is Oliver not living in Queen Manor anymore, but is also not going to be coming around Queen Manor anymore, is he would find those cameras pretty quickly.
Yeah, he would have found them pretty quickly.
First of all, they're kind of big. They're a little big.
He couldn't tell what he was doing.
I think he was so overcome. I'll forgive him this, but
I like this painting. I'm going to touch it.
Yeah. All I have to say, though, is that Bruce Wayne would have been taking him down as he was putting him up.
This is the irreplaceable family heirloom. Oh, I'm going to touch it.
Do you spend a lot of time on the water?
As he just looks over at Oliver like, yeah, water. Remember that? He's the entire conversation. It's just the biggest jerk conversation ever.
How uncomfortable can I make you in 15 minutes?
Every time Moira turns her back, you're a douche. Oh, you're such a nice boy. I love this boy, Mrs. Queen. Can you go get me a drink? You're a jerk.
I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him all.
She walks back in. Oh, yeah. And then I said to the Premier of China. Oh, it's just so uncomfortable, and it's perfect. Though I do love when Team Arrow shows up. You know, Sarah comes down the stairs, and you have that cool moment where he sees her again, and it's like, oh,
you, Blondie Bear, your life,
not Shadow.
Oh, you're the one who got Shadow shot in her face.
I'm shocked he didn't just, like, take out his phone and, like, make a quick note to kill her. Like, add her to the list of people he has to kill.
Things to do before Thursday. The shakes Roy's hand.
That was cool. Yeah, let's talk about Roy, because we finally got to see a little bit of Roy's, a very little bit of Roy's training for the first time since joining, because he joined Team Arrow, and then for two episodes, we didn't see him.
It's been cut for time.
Yeah. Which, honestly, I've said it before, but I wish they would have, like, cut to Roy, like, Oliver dropped him on the island. Like, I would have loved that. Like, here, survive.
It's not Taz.
Survive if I let you.
Well, that's what Oliver's dad said to Oliver before shooting
that's
some
true. Of them. Survive! I'm gonna shoot me because I can! Survive if the island lets you.
Oh, man. So we got to see Roy working with a bow, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He sucks at it. But
it's terrible, but it was a nice little, okay, comic book fans, it's okay, we know we gave him superpowers, but
he's still going to shoot a bow and arrow. Well, because I think eventually they're going to find a way to get the Mirakuru out of him.
Probably.
I don't think Roy's going to have superpowers forever. Roy was enough of a badass before he got superpowers.
He's doing parkour, running on fences and beating up muggers.
Yeah, when he beat up those muggers, you were like, ah, I see how he's going to become Red Arrow.
He's like, where did you learn this?
Yeah.
The Vigilante Academy down in the Glades.
Yeah, well, if you have a six-pack, you're allowed to get in.
That's true.
But yeah, the great moment between Roy and Slade.
That's a firm handshake you got there.
Yeah, you too. So, you know, Slade.
Who let the kid?
He calls
Sebastian.
Really? Really? One of his sidekicks got my blood. There's like 5,000 people in this city, and you pick one of his playmates? Come here. I'm going to punch you in the face for an hour. Put the mask on so we don't leave any marks. Got to keep you looking camera fresh. I'm going to hit you in the back so no one can see.
I can't wait to see Roy try to fight Slade because it's going to happen.
Well, you got that
scene in
the
trailer?
You got that cool scene in the comes around trailer. Or no, a full circle trailer.
Yeah, when Oliver, Canary, and Roy are all surrounding Slade, and he looks even less worried.
He is than Malcolm.
He is even less worried than Malcolm when Malcolm was faced with Oliver and Diggle.
Malcolm was kind of excited that he got the whip on them.
Yeah, to whip on a Marine and a Vigilante at the same time. All right, Slade's just like, all right, if I must, here we go. All right,
I'm drinking me rum. Don't you have something better to do? Set your cameras, kids, because this is a trick I can only do once.
Okay, so looking more through my notes about what happened in the actual present day stuff. Most of my notes are all island stuff. Oh yeah, so apparently the no kill rule goes right out the window when you're dealing with Slade.
Well, yeah, when you've got a super powerful, you have an already mega badass assassin vigilante team six, you know, secret agent,
right?
You know, who is doing who's doing work without superpowers.
Right.
And now you give them superpowers and rage issues.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest gun you have? And Oliver tries to stab him. And you know, they set Diggle up. Dig's got a shot outside. Oh, let me walk you to your car, Mr. Slade. Oliver wants to watch the life leave his eye.
I
want to
make sure your head explodes in a pink mist.
While Slade climbs into his Lamborghini, Oliver's like, all right, Dig, let's get in the car.
Dig.
Here we go.
Dig. Hey, do you like my Miami Vice car? I knocked out your bodyguard.
Oh, by the way, the bullet's not coming. I loved it. Do you think we're ever going to find out who takes Dig out, or do you think it was just supposed to be like one of Slade's people?
It could be a Slade goon, or it could be an Amanda Waller goon. It could all be pretty bad timing. I mean, this
Slade had it in place to take Dig out.
This is Master Planner Slade at his finest, so he could be accounting for everything.
Yeah. Do you think Slade is more threatening of a foe than Merlin?
Yeah, because it's way more personal. I mean, Slade's mission, it could change if Malcolm ever reasserts himself as the primary nemesis, but...
Yeah, well, Malcolm, I would love to see Slade and Malcolm come face to face.
You have a villain who not only knows Oliver personally, and, you know, he knows everything about him, he's intent on making him suffer, whereas Malcolm was like, nah, dude, you're a pain in my butt because you're kind of interfering in my plans.
Right.
And then again, you know, it wasn't personal. It wasn't personal for Malcolm. And then even when he discovers who Oliver is, he's like, do I really have to kill my kid's best friend?
Really?
He's like, really? It's you? It's you? Because, I mean, at any point in time, if Malcolm really wanted Oliver dead up until when they were fighting on the roof, mm-hmm. Oliver would have been dead.
That's true. That is true. But, you know, Slade just wants to prolong the torment. I think Slade is definitely...
Yeah, this is personal.
Right. He's
this
not trying to destroy the city. He's just trying to take Oliver. I mean, I think he definitely has a plan for Starling City. Because of everything Blood is doing. And do you think Oliver is just kind of like a side mission? Or do you think the plan to take down Starling City is also to hurt Oliver?
Yeah. He knows. He knows what the mission was. I'm sure he read through the journal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's...
That was this. Ew. It's a bunch of names.
Got terrible handwriting.
You know, some penmanship classes might have done your old man well.
Weren't you submerged in water at least four times? Why is this book in fantastic condition?
You know, ink does tend to run.
Again, this is someone who it's personal. He wants Oliver broken. And then when Oliver's at his absolute lowest, he's like, maybe I'll kill you.
Right.
But I'm probably going to settle for chopping off your fingers and toes and skinning you.
Well, no, what he said he's going to do, he's like, remember he said he's going to kill everyone he loves, and then when he's broken, he's going to shoot him in the eye with an arrow.
So he's not even going to kill him. He's just going to pluck his eyeball out.
Yeah. It's an eye for an eye, literally. But again, Slade is another villain that is, the love of my life died, and so now I'm a bad guy.
Well, it's okay for Slade, because even in the comics, he is ambiguous. You know, yes, when he's introduced the new Teen Titans, he's very much so the villain. But then when he returns, because, well, frankly, he was so over a character, they give him more depth, and yes, it is bad to have sex with a minor. I don't care what your superpowers are. But you find, you know, he's doing things to save his kids. And then
Why did you bring that up?
Deathstroke beds Tara, who is very much so a teen in the Teen Titans.
Oh, is that why Tara turns?
Yeah.
That was an awesome arc in the Teen Titans cartoon also.
Yeah, the cartoon did that very well, you know, leaving out the
bedding.
He's a character who is not strictly a villain. You know, he's a contract killer.
Right.
These kids just happen to be in his way. He had a reason to be going after these kids. Don't forget, we still have the Hive. The Hive issue is still floating around.
That is true.
You know, Deadshot did make it very clear that the Hive was responsible for Diggle's brother's death.
I don't think we see Hive this season.
Wasn't anything personal.
Unless Hive pops up in the Suicide Squad episode, I don't think we're going to see Hive till season 3.
I think we get at least one more mention.
Maybe a mention, but there's not a lot of real estate left.
And chances are, you know, we get the big bad reveal for the next season during the season, during the season finale.
Yeah.
To kind of leave you out there.
I think crackpot theory time. I think Slade has got to take at least one person Oliver loves out this season. I think it's going to be Moira.
I'm pretty sure Moira's going.
Yeah.
I don't think Fia goes.
No, I don't either.
You have the Malcolm connection. The but I you know, Moira has been, you know, again, she's still walking the line, but she's very much so the villain.
Yeah.
You know, she's very much so the passive villain, I should say. The
she is I feel like Slade is either going to take out Moira, which will make me happy, or he'll take out Sarah, which will make me very upset.
The I'll put it to you like this. Moira is clearly more of a villain than Lionel Luthor was. And Lionel was very clearly a not good person.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
The you know, and you know, the character and you know, they do things very differently. You know, it's very much so, you know, this is, you know, it's anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shadow, you know, and pre-New 52 is a baby mama for Oliver. And
yeah.
Now a New 52, she's a baby mama for Robert Queen. The
Robert, you know, Queen with his awesome facial hair.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Again, there's enough pearls in there that it's familiar, but it's different.
You know, the comparison always gets drawn between Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Does it?
It does. And I've argued with countless people on this.
I saw a nice little meme the other day.
Clark Kent and Tony Stark?
Yeah.
I posted that, and I got like a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans getting all like uppity about it.
Too bad your show sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I will say I did watch the Lady Sif episode last night, and it was very good.
Your show doesn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
However, how many acronymed dark organizations can you cram into one season?
Right.
How many unnecessary cameos and name drops can you cram into one season? You know,
it's getting better.
And how much phoned-in acting can you squeeze in?
It is getting better, and I do have to say that it's a good show at this point. I will even say that. But
it's okay.
But, yeah, it's an all right show, but to say that it's better than Arrow, I think is just lunacy.
No.
It's just complete lunacy. We had this fight on Silver Screen Spoilers recently about Arrow and S.H.I.E.L.D. where I told people that they were crazy. That if anyone, you know, Arrow is just, it's like every show, every episode on Arrow is pretty much a home run this season.
Yeah.
There were no, and I can't even think
even
of an episode last
weak,
season.
Even
that,
when you have a weak episode, or like in the first like two episodes when, again, it's a pilot. You know, it's a pilot, and it's the first episode.
When we had that Oliver Queen voiceovers constantly.
Yes, the annoying voiceovers. It's like, all right, dude, like,
good lord, like, this guy needs a friend.
Yeah. Like, see, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they dropped that quickly, and it found its sea legs right away.
Right.
Arrow found its sea legs immediately. By the legit second episode, they kind of had it figured out.
Well, yeah, you knew
how many episodes were like.
A lot of episodes.
Or a lot of episodes into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
it's just finding itself.
You know, Bill Paxton's kind of cool. He's a throwback to original Nick Fury, but it also, it just comes off so forced and contrived.
Yeah.
The, you know, and I, you know, I want to like it.
Yeah.
The, you know, the pilot episode didn't really blow my skirt up, but I was like, it's cool. Nice nod to the 60s Nick Fury car.
Yeah.
But, you know. Sky is just un-effing bearable.
Agreed. Well, folks, this is not an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. This is an Arrow podcast, so we're going to keep it on that. You got anything else for this week?
No, I'm kind of tapped out.
Yeah,
ready
me too.
To see a Suicide Squad. You know, everybody. Yes. You know, I think the trailer had a lot to give. The, you know, especially the young blonde lady with pigtails with her back to the camera.
Okay, can I just make a public service message to the nerds? Please stop. Because Harley Quinn is not going to be in this episode. It is a Easter egg. It is made to make you talk about it.
Well, listen, there are a lot of cells in there, and there's only three members on the team.
Right.
Amanda Waller loses people a lot.
That's why they're called the Suicide Squad.
Oh, you know,
they are expendable.
There's a bomb literally in the back of your head. So you can misbehave, or I can blow your head up.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that episode. That's going to be tonight, folks. We're releasing this episode on the 12th of March, so... you know, I'm going to try to get these out earlier as opposed to the day that the new episode airs. But, you know, time constraints and whatnot, we're going to do our best. Well, if that does it for you, I think that does it for me, right?
Yeah.
Well, folks, thank you for joining us again here on Leon U, the WDPN Arrowcast. Hope you had a good time. If you like it, please share it with a friend. You know, get people talking about it. Let's, you know, keep the podcast going and growing. Leave us a comment or a review or rate us on iTunes. Every little bit helps. We love hearing feedback from you guys. If you have an email, send it to wdpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Folks, that's going to do it. For Mr. Kevin Clark, I am Kevin Kessel. You have failed this podcast. We'll see you next week, folks. Enjoy the Suicide Squad.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.